This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
It is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, busy day today. We want calls early and often, so... what's the number?
1-800-919-3776. I'll say it again with my chest.
1-800-919-3776.
Get on the line, man, and I love our intro. This is how winning is done. How winning is done is by losing to the Chargers. That's how winning is done in 2020.
Isn't it amazing? Losing by winning. Winning by losing.
It's such a 2020 type
theme
of thing.
How about the theme of my weekend, though? That's the theme of my weekend. It's watching, like watching the Jets and watching Justin Herbert and being like, I don't even care. Joe Flacco throws that pick six, which was like, what the?
I wonder, good. I wonder if Joe got in his ear. Joe, remember what we talked about? Remember why you're here? I brought you here from Baltimore. Put some money in his eye. You bet not throw this fight. You remember? You know how you go. He goes to the line and he goes
like Omaha. Instead of saying Omaha, he goes, co-tight. We're going co-tight. Yeah, exactly. Co-tight.
Can you know, we all watch those movies where we tell the guy like lying or something. He throw the fight, right? It's all on the tiller. Throw the fight. And then all of a sudden, he decided to go off the rails. Wrong bet. Like, hold up, Flacco. I brought you here to reason.
Right, you bet not
be trying to win this game. Y'all have blocked a punt. Hell no.
Yeah, you're Joe Douglas. You're like, listen, Joe, we're going to need a quarterback next year one way or another. You want to be part of the solution, or do you want to be part of the problem?
You want an extra $5 million?
Why am I talking like Jerry Jones? I don't think Joe Douglas talks like Jerry Jones. You want to be part of the solution or part of the problem. That is that quiet conversation Jerry Jones would have, like with Dalton.
I tell you what,
we don't want to win this division. We want to get a high draft pick. You want to be part of the solution or part of the problem.
All of a sudden, Dalton looks.
Division, dude. I'm probably wrong. Peter Boddy put this out yesterday on Twitter. His buddy of mine, great sports writer in New York, and it's funny. Now John thinks it's not accurate, but I don't care. It's funny enough to say. Imagine winning the division, having a home playoff game, and also a top 10 pick all in the same year. Your record's so bad, but obviously if you make the playoffs, then you get slotted in. But still, it's just funny to think that division is where it is. And we'll talk about the whole Giants thing now. We'll talk about with that with Rex Ryan at noon. He'll join us in as he always does. Nick fans, we've got Emmanuel quickly.
Yes.
The 25th overall selection by the Knicks, the second first round they took from Kentucky. He's going to join us at 11:30, bottom of the hour. And yes, I'm going to tell him all what you said. I'm going to tell him what you all said about him. Mm-hmm. Could have got him the second round. Oh, Kentucky guy. I'm calling you all out. I'm going to call you. He's going to come on and be like, Emmanuel, hey, by the way, all Knick fans, not happy about you.
Exactly.
What do you think?
Show your work.
Put that chip on his shoulder. And everyone, he's like, oh, we love him now. He's our guy.
Yo, okay. we should take callers. We should let callers come in and hate. Like, yeah, man. And that way, put that chip on the shoulder. So let them come in and ask him a question.
I think we could have gotten Tyrell Terry instead of you. Oh, he would have been. He's like, I'm SEC player of the damn year.
Exactly. Put some respect on my
name. It'd be good. Quickly's a good kid, though. But so we'll have him on. We'll talk some NBA because this is the weekend. Like I said, let me get back to it. This weekend for me has been about, the best thing that can happen is to lose.
Yeah.
Because the Jets now 0-10, and even though it was a closer game than it should have been, and of course I missed the cover, so I don't get the win. I picked the Chargers, but I didn't cover. But still, that game was closer than it should have been, but it ended up happening the way it happened. 0-10, and on to the next one, and waiting to get to 0-16, and making sure you get Trevor Lawrence, and then you move forward from there. Sorry, Sam, we love you, but that's just where it is right now. That's reality.
But this
and then there's free agents. agency where it's like the Lakers are just loading up again. The Hawks are adding teams. And here's the Knicks like, we're going to get Ed Davis and 2 second-rounders. Then we're going to trade Ed Davis for another second-rounder. And we've got more second-rounders than we actually have players.
Is that for 2023? I'm starting to see a loading lot of, like you said, I'm starting to see a lot of 2023 picks.
That's one of the high school drafts. That's Bronny's draft. There's a couple actually talented young players.
They're going to draft Bronny.
Well, Leon Rose did once represent LeBron James.
And the crazy thing is, he's going to come in, he's going to be like Isaiah Thomas' son. Not as good as the original.
Could you imagine, though, if you did that, you'd have like the Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. on the same team kind of deal? Like, is it worth it? I don't know, but it's still whatever that is. Bottom line is, though, the Knicks are doing making moves that aren't about winning now, clearly. It's about, again, preservation. It's about draft picks, assets, and patience, which some fans, it drives you nuts because you're going to have another year ahead where you're like, well, not a team built to win right now. So what you have to look forward to. But yet other fans are going, good. Finally, we stick to something that it might be sustainable to build forward. So here you are with two teams now, and all you're thinking is losing is winning. And that's where I'm at. That was my weekend, Bart. Losing is winning.
When does the price come down for Westbrook? Because eventually,
that's a great question.
Eventually, the price is going to come down. So just waiting, even if it's during the trade deadline, eventually, you know, because I think James Harden is adamant about getting out of there. And I think they're going to start looking at James Harden and saying, okay, well, we're going to mess around and not get an opportunity to get anything for you. And he's just going to walk away in 2 years. So we better come to our senses and just understand it's over. Right? I mean, OKC's had to do it twice. When they lost to Rat, when they lost Westbrook, they've had to come to grips that, okay, our star is leaving. And what are we going to do about it?
And so that's why you do what you're doing here. You absolutely collect as many picks as you can, because the next couple of drafts, especially 22, 23, whichever year it's going to be that they'll finally allow the high school kids back, they'll allow the drafts back in. And a lot of it also will be the G League thing too, which you can draft a high school kid and put him in the G League, because that's what they're already trying to establish, is maybe he's not ready to play in the NBA yet, but there's a different type of development program, which is an alternative to college. So that's all going to be there, right? And you've got all these picks that are going to be valuable teams that are going to be rebuilding. So that's the plan. Just sit and wait and be ready. And that's what you're doing. We'll get into the NBA. We'll get into the NBA stuff, though. A lot of free agency stuff.
Before we transition,
go ahead. I want to ask you a question about the Jets, but go ahead.
Will the farm system start to become like baseball, where people are trading big time prospects within the G League? Right from their G League team.
That's a great question. I don't know if it, like it won't
like,
be.
So somebody get a player. I'm saying, but somebody get a player and then get somebody in the G League.
Well, like you have this thing where it's like a franchise's top prospects.
Right.
That's like what they I'm do in baseball about. Where they and rank we, your prospects.
Rank them. That's what I'm saying. So then you can see a lot more movement.
Like not here yet, but on the on the rise. And this is somebody that everybody's like watching in the G League, saying this kid's going to be a stud.
Like a guy like Giannis, right? He put on weight. He needed to gain more weight or something like that, or the dude that. That the Knicks got, that they own his rights, and he's been in the league for 45 years already. He's 47 years old, but he just hasn't come over yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, break him
over. There is some dude they just got that was drafted in 08. I'm like, I was a beat writer back then.
I think he was in
middle school back then. But so the bottom line is that I think it's the tale is about patience. Not everybody wants to hear it, but we'll talk more about that and what you did see in free agency around the league. That'll be later in the hour, but I got to ask you though, Bart, when it comes to what we're seeing from the Jets, is you're not watching for wins anymore. That's pretty clear. You're watching for young players to be competitive. Mims had moments where I was like, damn, that kid can ball.
Yeah.
Right? A second round pick, wide receiver, and you're starting to see each week that kid can ball. And if you find him, he'll make catches. And you know what else I noticed? All of a sudden, Chris Herndon, he arrived and showed up made a couple of catches where he actually put himself out there to make a catch. I'm not saying he had a great game. What I'm saying is for the first time in weeks, I noticed him for not all the negatives. Becton is Becton, although I would like him to stay on the field a little more.
Hey, I don't know what's up with that, him going in and out, man. If that's the case, just let him rest.
Is it more a conditioning, or does he, every little thing, if he feels something, he doesn't want to play if he's not, like if something's bothering him, he won't play through it?
Well, I just want to know if he's injured and he's playing through it and it's just too much. I wonder if that's the case.
What do you mean?
Well, if he's injured and he's trying to fight through it, but he probably needs surgery or something, like if he needs a scope or something.
You think there's something that's there, and so it starts to bother him, they say, don't push it, come out?
Because it could be that pec, it could be that left arm. You know, we've all had that nagging injury. They said, let's get an image of it, and then you get surgery, you know, after the season. And it's fine, but it just requires surgery. It's enough to make you pause and make you hurt. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. So that's what I'm talking about.
So you worried about I think Jacksonville's the only team left to be worried about, right?
No, man. Jeez, can they just win one? This is too nervous. Do they play the Bengals? Do Jacksonville play the Bengals?
No, I think we had their schedule. I put up their schedule. We talked about this a while back.
The only team I can see them beating is like maybe the Bengals.
And now, especially, how terrible is that, by the way, for Burrow? How many ACLs this season? I mean, Odell's another one, right? I mean, how many ACLs this year? That's rough. All right, they've got the Browns. They've got the Vikings. They've got the Titans. They've got the Ravens. They got the Bears.
Oh.
And they got the Colts.
They might beat the Bears.
There is no win here.
But the good thing is,
there's not a win here, dude. Come on. There's not a single win here. Not a single one. The Jets can't win a game. You can't.
Yeah.
There's not a single win. Come on. Browns have to win.
Because I think if they win.
Vikings?
And I think somebody
can you beat the Vikings?
The Vikings just won four in a row. But the thing is, I'm looking at that team, and I'm saying I think even if
the Vikings didn't just lose to
if the Jets win, Dallas. Yeah, they lost to Dallas, but they had won four in a row.
Yes.
Dalvin Cook went off on that run for like two games in a row where he went for 200 yards rushing.
Yeah, but then he couldn't beat
I'm nervous with, even if like people are like, oh, well, the Jets should win. If they win and Jacksonville has a win and they have a win, I think Jacksonville's strength of schedule is weaker. So I believe that they would get the tiebreaker.
How could their strength of schedule be weaker?
Because the Jets are playing teams that have better records. So like the team that guys, I know it's weird, right? Usually you would think the team that has the toughest strength of schedule will get it. No, it's the one that has the weakest strength of schedule. You see what I'm saying?
So like I know what you're saying. I don't like it.
This is the funniest thing, right?
It's amazing that you're going to have a fan base that if they go 0-16, you will celebrate.
But this is why I say keep Flacco in. I would put Darnold on IR. Because if you know your future rests on winning the game, what would you do? Darnold's going to be willing to die.
Sam's got
to say. Yeah, he's going to be diving through people running. You think those 50-yard runs? He ain't even going to be handing the ball. He's going to be running.
I can't afford that Sam even get hurt either, because you might need to use him as a trade ship going forward.
But Sam is going to try and play his heart out.
Of course he should.
To get a win, because he knows he get his win that he keeps.
I hate this for him.
If he wins, that means he's the starting quarterback. So in essence, when he gets out there, he's just trying to win one game. And that one game is for him to become, you know, the quarterback. The only issue is for him to do that, and he'll earn it. He's got to go through New England. He's got to go through Cleveland. He's got to go through the Rams. He's got to go through Seattle. He has to go through the Raiders, and he has to go through Miami. If he does that, if he gets one of those, he earns. He's going to deserve it, right? Because he should be like 20 point. The other team should be like 20 point favorites. But if you're trying to galvanize the troops, because you know one win equals that you're going to have a job next year and potentially be in line for a $30 million extension or something. You know what I'm saying? So what would you do for that?
I know exactly what I'd do. Exactly. I'm not here.
Sending presents to everybody.
I'm not here, you can draft my replacement is basically what your attitude is when it comes to this kind of stuff. But if I'm Joe Flacco, I'm like,
Flacco's like, whatever Joe tells me.
I want a job next year, so if you just need me to do the right thing.
That's why I put Sam out there.
I have no problem pulling the pin. Juan, by the way, just tweeted us, and I feel bad. Bart, what can we do? He said, damn, I missed the opening of Bart and Han because I was on the phone with the urologist. My wife is making me get a vasectomy.
Oh, man, bro.
We got too many damn kids.
Bro.
I mean, I can relate. But my wife, at the last minute, now she might have a change of heart because I was all set up, had a schedule, everything. And my wife, at the last minute, said, no. She gave me a pardon. She just couldn't see. She couldn't see it happen.
Why won't she take the L? Why don't she get on birth control? She's assuming that y'all going to be married for the rest of your life. Whatever you get in another relationship and your new wife want a baby.
What are you talking about? I'm getting too old for this.
No, I'm talking about him.
I think it's a given that anything that happens beyond this is just going to be me on my own.
I would put it on my wife. Like, like, you being selfish. Why don't you get your tubes tied? You know you don't want no more kids. Why you want to stop me from shooting up
poor
the club?
Juan, though. I feel bad for Juan. So there isn't a rewind, but there, of course, is a podcast. So if you missed anything at the top, it was a little
Juan, don't let her mess up your ability to shoot up the club, man. Don't do it, Juan. Tell her if she loves
Johnny
you, she'll
Appleseed,
get her tubes
baby.
Tied. Tell she'll get her tubes tied if she loves you.
Or just be careful. That's all. Just, you know.
No, that never works.
And if God gives you a blessing like our little Callie came along 5 years ago.
Yep.
It's a blessing.
Just feeling yourself that. He's like, what's it? It's like right when you're about to make that decision, you think in your head, well, they say it's hard to get pregnant. Is she ovulating? Maybe not. You know what? Any excuse you start lying to yourself to do what you want to do.
Yeah. And sometimes you're just, you know, you're in that moment where it's like,
right, you got about, shoot up the club.
We've got about 30 seconds before one of the kids bangs the door down.
Yeah.
So whatever happens. This
run
is like
straight,
basically,
run straight
you kicked
through
it to me in the corner, and I'm going to let it fly.
You ran straight through the red light.
Sometimes it happens.
Oh, was a stop sign right there? Nope. Didn't see it.
All right, let's get some calls, Bart, because we have Emmanuel quickly bottom of the hour, and then we'll have some NBA talk and then Rex. So this is the time to get our calls in. Let's see. Let's begin with who wants it the most. Let's go Anthony in Long Island. Anthony.
Yeah.
What's happening, bro?
First call on the Today Show. Fantastic.
Lead us off.
Get the opportunity to talk to you guys. So good stuff. I want to talk about the Jets. Well, two things. So I'll tell you what I'm thinking about them, and I'll tell you what I'm a little concerned about, and you tell me if I'm crazy. But I keep hearing all of this talk about how the Jets are, you know, not a good-looking team to come to, and you know, well, when I look at it, they got a lot of money to spend. They're going to have a high pick. They're going to have a low pick in the first round. They got a couple of picks in the third round. Mm-hmm. You know, why is it that people are saying that they don't want to, again,
I think it's the head I'll tell you what, Anthony, my answer is the head coach. What's your answer, Bart?
It's the head coach, and it's the perception that the executives don't know how to run a professional outfit.
Thank you, man.
But I think if you look at if you look at the first round draft picks, you can say, well, wow. I mean, you think about Austin Davis, right? You think about P. Ryan. You think about Mims. You know, Mims looks just as good to me. Maybe not as good as Claypool, but and Jefferson. But I think if he had a whole season, I mean, you see how he's high-pointing the ball, how he's mossing these D-backs, and how he's just like his catch rate is. And when he's not catching the ball, he's getting PIs because they're hooking his arm and holding his wrist. You know what I mean? So you think about what he accounted for, 71 yards, but what about another 40, 50 yards just on strictly on penalties? And even the last one that when Joe Flacco threw the fade, pushed him from the back and rolled him down to the ground.
I felt like when he's older, that issue won't happen. I think that was a little bit of strength. Like, he didn't really go for the ball. He tried to flop, and I feel like when you're older and a little bit stronger, you're going to out-muscle that corner, and you're going to go get that ball.
And the thing is, he's going to be on the same page with a quarterback that if this dude's playing that high, I'm just going to run a back shoulder and just throw it, and I'll wait for you to throw it, and I'll just catch it behind him. And then
that's a good question. Anyway. That's a great point, too. It's also he's playing off instinct right now. All right, let's go. More calls. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. What's up, Sam?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How we doing?
I'm all right, man. I want to talk about my Knicks real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
We got your new baby coming on a little later.
All right, cool. First of all, I want to say my Knicks trade for Westbrook. I wish y'all stopped that. Did not mortgage the future for Westbrook. Period. We blew one pick in the draft when we could have picked that kid, Cassius Winston, out of Michigan State, and let him, and we should have signed Rondo. We should have went after Melo, and then we should have signed Jeremy Grant. We could have started Mitchell, Grant, Anthony, Barrett, Rondo. We're topping off the bench, had Winston learning under Rondo, had a couple of other guys, Bullock, coming off the bench.
Sam, why would they want to come? Why would Rondo want to come? And why was Carmelo coming with father top player?
Sam, all due respect, I'm not feeling any of that. First of all, Rondo had zero interest in coming here. He wanted to go to a team that was really looking to be a playoff team and compete, and that's why he went to Atlanta the way he did. Carmelo didn't want to come to New York, mainly because, again, there wasn't any reason for him at this point in his career to come here and finish it up because there's there's nothing yet for him to come here for. It doesn't mean that next summer it'll be revisited if they make some moves. I do think he wants to finish it here. This wasn't the time. Jerami Grant is not even a starter. He's a really good guy off the bench type player at this point in his career, and he's looking to also, you know, but I mean, what was the money he got? I got to check my list, but he got some money where I was like, I don't know.
They like 20 a year.
You know, like, no, I don't think he got 20, but
he's like
still.
Three for 60.
He got 3 for 60?
Maybe I'm tripping.
I got to look at that. But anyways, bottom line is like, that's not, you know, like, those aren't the moves. And by the way, Cassius Winston at 25 in the draft. I like the kid too, but guys, come on. Can we do better than this? Ryan in Manhattan. Come on, Ryan.
He got 3 for 60, bro.
Hello?
He got 3 for 60?
3 for 60.
Oh, that's right. The Pistons were doing crazy stuff this weekend. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hello? Yes, hello.
We got you.
I saw a report about John Wall being traded. I just wanted to see what you guys would think if we were to be able to get him for not a lot.
No.
Even if he's at like 50% of what he was.
Ryan, you don't want to do that. No
way.
He's
Westbrook money, too.
He's coming off Achilles. He's the same contract as Westbrook, except his injuries, major concerns. Not really a great leadership kind of guy you'd want to have around a young team that you're trying to develop with. Never was a guy that can defend at all at that position. Ball dominant kind of guard who just, he needs a year to prove that he can play again at a high level after everything. He hasn't played in 2 years, right? So why would
you do that?
It doesn't make any sense. It's just that's the kind of stuff where you're looking for something that looks like a splash and ends up, and you end up drowning. So Ryan, I appreciate the call. That's you don't go that way at all. One more, Val in the Bronx. Come on, Val.
You want to reset the show, man, because these are the first two been tough.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jeff.
We got to get a better call. Go ahead, Val.
How you doing, bro?
Good.
Good morning, gentlemen. I got a buffet for you. I got two for you, okay?
Go.
One Jets, one Knicks. Yo, yesterday, I've been a Sam Darnold fan since we got him, all right? But I think, you know, I'm convinced now that, you know, we need to not win a game at all because Jacksonville might win something, so we can't chance it. We cannot win a game. We need to hold out for Lawrence. You could see it in these young quarterbacks that's out there. I know Burrow's, and that's a sad story. He went down yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, dumb guys that's coming up there, you could see it in it. They have something when you see them on the field. And when you see my guy on the field, that tells you that we're not there yet. We got to go make another push for that and get in there again. And as far as my next point, I honestly believe, and I hope everybody else, I don't know why people are fighting this. If we could just get that price to come down, and I don't even know that the price is set yet on what it's going to take to get Russell. If we could get that price to come down, and it does not cost us a pick, and it does not cost us any of our young core, except for maybe like a Knox. If we could get that to happen, I'm telling you, the only way we get any kind of other star talent, everybody's talking about who's coming out next year. I like what you're saying with the draft for like 2023. See, we don't have to give up any of those. But them other free agents, them stars, nobody's coming if we keep putting out what we're putting out in the garden. Russell is going to help them young guys. You saw what he did for Adams. You hear what somebody like Oladipo says about him. They need to get that guy in there if they could get that price down and it does not cost us our future.
Thank you, Val. Appreciate it. And Bart, I'll leave it at this. I do think if you're the Knicks, you do just sit and just see what happens. I don't think you say completely no to it. You just want to see when do the Rockets get to a point where they're like, man, Russ is going to be a toxic issue in our locker room when camp starts. If he's still here, he's not going to be happy, and we're going to force him and Harden to be happy. We know that is not that's a bad thing. So they have to eventually decide what they want to do. Well, and so this isn't something you rush into. You wait, and maybe the Knicks do wait. Maybe they say, you know what, we'll see if they do reach that point where like we need somebody that's going to take as much of this salary into their cap as they want.
Yeah,
I mean, as they can. And then give us like, you know, like some late take seconds
Julius
or
Randle.
Something.
Take Julius Randle.
It's going to have to be something like that. But if they don't, they don't. You know, but I wouldn't completely close the door. But I just don't feel like it's going to happen. At least not in the near future. Emmanuel Quickley was great. We appreciate him. Really impressive kid, Bar. Right? I mean, you know, the answers he gave us, pretty confident. Although he will learn that even though Kentucky is very passionate about their basketball,
right?
New York is not Kentucky. Yeah, it's a little different.
And I hope he took my other advice as well. Stay out of heights. At least.
We'll go offline.
It's our break.
We'll go offline with him about that.
Phrasing.
We'll just make sure we. We'll talk with him offline. He is old enough, though, unlike the past
Jets
who were not old enough.
Right.
He is old enough. But you know what? Right now, it's time for Jets' quote of the game.
So one thing I can say about this team, you know, we come to work every week. Sundays, we give it our, everybody give it their all. You know, we just got to keep fighting as a team and, you know, try to get one, you know, but it's tough, you know, because you play this game and win.
I don't get one.
Now, well, you understand from the player's perspective for sure. All right, that was the Jets quote of the game. If you were watching Jets post game live with, starring Bart Scott, Jonas Schwartz, and Janae Coakley as well on SNY after yesterday's game, you know which player or coach that was. So be the first caller to correctly identify the player or coach right now at 1-888-987-ESPN for your chance to win a piece of official Jets merchandise. The Jets quote of the game brought to you by SNY.
Get your New York sports here.
That's right. 98.7 ESPN, your radio home for New York Jets football. All right, we have about a minute here, then we'll get Rex Ryan coming up, and that's always a great spot, and we'll get back to the NFL stuff. But just in a minute, let's just go over what, Bart, we saw happen over the weekend in NBA free agency. The winner, to me, it's the easy winner, and that would be the Lakers. I mean, they not only they traded for Dennis Schroeder, which we knew about. They replaced Danny Green, friend of the show, with Wes Matthews, who's a good three-point shooter and a guy that can give you a little defense as well. They get Montrezl Harrell from the Clippers.
Traitor.
Harrell took nothing.
Yes, he traitor.
Made, I mean, like, nothing.
Nothing. Traitor.
To go play for the Lakers. And then how about this one? Marcus Gasol.
Yeah.
I know he's a lot older.
But he going to give you some space, and he can shoot the three a little bit.
Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee become Marcus Gasol. I mean, you know, and he can defend. He's still a decent defender.
The crazy thing is, though, like, really for me, with the Clippers, like, how bad is it there where Montrezl Harrell, rather instead of hanging with his homeboys,
maybe
rather walk away?
Yeah, no, maybe. All right, the Nets did a nice job, too, keeping Joe Harris, getting Landry Shamet, Jeff Green a nice addition as well. He and KD now, original Sonics, together again. Right now, it's time for the Rex Ryan Report. It's brought to you by Fidelis Care and Bud Light. Coach, thanks for joining us as always, as you do each week at this time. And I got to feel like, because you're here and Bart's here, the place to begin has to be Baltimore, Tennessee, Titans, Ravens. And I need to know, before you even get into the game and what's happening to the Ravens, is before that game, Harbaugh going out there and confronting the Titan players about whatever they're doing on our logo, which in a lot of sports, the logo is a sacred place.
Yeah.
When you saw that, does that make your blood boil too? Is it an overreaction? How do you feel about that?
Well, no, I think first off, it wasn't that it's just a group of guys. It was the whole team. So their message was clear, loud and clear, that, hey, you know, this is our house. You know, we smoked you the last time. We're going to do it again. But, like, they don't believe the hype. Well, man, the bad thing is only Harbaugh came over there. Like, that was – I was shocked by it. You know, you're going to see your head coach out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the only dude over there. So if I would have been there with John, I would have been there myself. Yeah. We both would have got our butts kicked together. But
No, there wouldn't be no butt kicking. You already know who would have been coming over your shoulder with the first punch.
Yeah, and that's
the players weren't on the field. Like,
no way this happens if we were there. No
the
way.
The players weren't really out there yet, though. That was the one thing. He did. He took that upon himself.
Let me tell you something. It's no way that would have happened and everybody from the Titans make it out of the game. Somebody got to die.
Right.
for real. Like, no. You ain't going to make it. Hold they ass up. Don't let people fall. And don't let them out and take them down. Hold them up and let the guy running from 12 yards decapitate somebody. Listen, I don't know what this new breed of Raven is, but listen, we take zero disrespect. And then the fact that you lose the game on a run by the running back is a physical way to lose the game. And I knew that this was going to be a tough matchup because it was no Calais Campbell, it was no Brandon Williams, which is that's why they went and acquired them so they can be better at the point of attack. And it was an opportunity for the young linebacker to step up and introduce himself to this series. Now, he didn't do a bad job, but when you think about this matchup, whether you think about Ray Lewis taking Eddie George out, taking the ball from him for years, like, you got to understand, this is an organizational thing. This beef goes back for years. A lot of people think about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Ravens. Remember, the Titans used to be in that division with Aaron McNair. It's a lot of smoke there because, and you talk about every era has a beef, right? So Rex, if I'm correct, when Ray punked Eddie, Eddie was all salty and people were saying that Eddie's afraid of Ray Lewis. Then, right. When I get there, the rivalry renewed is when we had nobody. They were the favorite and we sent their ass home. And it's a picture of Keith Bullock throwing the rails because we went down there and we played, talk about not playing cover two. We were playing cover two. We never ever practiced cover two because as we had so many people, we had so many people injured that we were just making defenses up on the sideline. So that's season two of it, right? But in between that one and the one that when Ray pucked them for the Super Bowl, in between that, they came in our house and they beat us when we were the number one seed, and Eddie ran and he stiff-armed Ray, and it was the whole beef on that side. So this thing just continued. So now it's 2-1. So then it became 2-2 during the playoffs, right? Last year, the playoffs, they came in our house and they destroyed us. So now it's 2-2. Now they're up. But this is what you can't do. You can't come in our house, talk stuff, and then run over us and then leave. So listen, the Ravens got to have a gut check. And listen, they're lucky. They're lucky that Miami lost yesterday because they're sputtering out of control. And it's going to take some veteran leadership to pull this back together. But it's no Marshall Yanda. You know what I'm saying? It's no Terrell Suggs. It's no veteran there that can step in and say, hey, no, we got to do this. So I don't know who those leaders are. Is it Lamar Jackson? Can he galvanize the troops? It has to be a guy like Mark Ingram. It has to be a guy like Derek Wolfe. But Derek Wolfe just got there. But so it has to be a guy like Mark Ingram that understands with this rivalry and how this brand of football is supposed to be played.
Yeah, and you're right, because you know the only other person is it's your coach, and that's fine. But the players got to buy in, and like that's unacceptable. And there's only one way I think this team gets back on the rails, and that means be the type of team we thought. That's to win on Thursday. If they don't, oh boy,
and you got to explain to people what Thursday is, right?
But they're going to be one and done, and that's it. Look, this defense, I mean, that's embarrassing. That's not the defense. That's not the Baltimore Raven way. But offensively, this offense is nowhere close to the offense we saw last year.
Right.
And they got the same pieces. I mean, you got a tight end here or there, not there. They lose Marshall Yanda, and that really was a Raven. You know, that's a damn true Raven. And they missed that bad.
And then they lose Stanley.
So you got two Pro Bowlers out of that offensive line. But one thing, when they brought in Fluker to play and, you know, bringing in big guys, you figure they'd be able to lean on some people, run the ball. They haven't been able to do that. So they have a lot of questions, and it's not getting easier Thursday night.
Yeah, you got to explain to the Rex what win on Thursday means, because I think our listeners have no idea what Thursday practice is traditionally supposed to be. They have no clue. So explain to them what Thursday means. When you say win on Thursday, explain to them.
Well, they're playing Thursday, but it's Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing the Steelers on Thursday.
That's a big
thing. So to me, that's the only way to come back. They have to beat the Steelers on Thursday. And to me, that's where it's like, here's an undefeated team. Mm-hmm. You're going on the road at Pittsburgh. And if you're the real Baltimore Ravens, would you please stand up?
Yeah.
Because you're running out of opportunities. And this is one. We're going to find out all we need to know about Baltimore. Do they answer the call? Do they answer the bell and win that game? If they do, then kind of all is forgiven. If not, they got major issues.
So you go to Calais Campbell, you go to Brandon Williams and say, listen, bro, I don't care if you're 10%, 15%. Listen, you can rest next week. This is a must win for us. I don't care if you got to shoot it up. What you got to do, do whatever you got to do to get you through it, right? Like I say all the time, you can take the shot the first week. It's the second week where it doesn't work. Well, guess what? We don't need you for anybody but the Pittsburgh Steelers. We need all hands on deck. This is a back against the ball, a wall. Let's see what kind of character, what kind of fight this team has. It's going to be exciting to see because they beat the Steelers up. the first game.
Right, they did.
But it was the turnovers, and it was the turnovers. It was the penalties. You know, I think Lamar had three or four turnovers in their own territory, in scoring territory. And the Steelers walked away. They kept Ben in check. But without Calais Campbell, you know, do they go with Benny Snell? And they broke down the film too. So it's going to be interesting to see what Ravens we get in prime time in front of the country. If you're going to be the badass that you claim to be, this is the opportunity to prove it. Step up.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's move on to some other games. That's a huge Thursday. Thanksgiving night, that's a great game and a reason to stay
awake. Thank God, because Dallas and Detroit, I don't want to shoot myself.
How about the first game?
The first game is the other one's brutal.
Texans-Lions. My God, 12:30. Like, you put it on, that's like background noise. I mean, a game like that's background. I'll tell you what, though. Washington-Dallas suddenly becomes, even though they're both not very good teams, that's a very important game in this division that is just incredible now, with the Eagles up at 3-6-1, everybody else at 3-7. But let me ask you something, Rex, about one of the teams in the NFC East, and that would be, of course, the local team, the Giants. And what you saw during a bye week, Mark Colombo gets fired, and the story's coming about he and Joe Judge having it out. Now, some reports that it got physical, but that's being denied, but it did get verbal, and it was a heated exchange where Colombo didn't like Judge kind of stepping in. You've been a head coach and you've been a coordinator. As you see this story and how it's played out and what you know about both guys, is there someone who's in the wrong here, or was Joe Judge right doing what he did?
Well, at the end of the day, Joe Judge is the head coach. And so you got to at least respect the position. And I think that was what, you know, my understanding is he wasn't respecting the position of head coach. And I think that's what it is. And to me, look, if there was no way there was a physical altercation, because Joe Judge is still with us. So that dude is huge. And so I don't see that happen. But but you have every right. As a head coach, you're going to make those moves. You're the reason, number one, Joe Judge hired you in the first place. And if he wants to fire you, that's his privilege. So I get it. Look, my understanding is the players love that guy, love that position coach, Colombo. But at the end of the day, if you're not all in with what the head coach's plan is, then absolutely has every right to fire you.
Yeah, part of the issue is that when he would correct some things of some players in the offensive line, and Colombo took exception to it, and as you said, it was probably public disrespect. Like, if you're going to say something, I wouldn't do it in front of the players because it sets a bad example of insubordination, right? But still, is the coach right? I guess as a head coach, you have that right, right? If you want to correct something.
Absolutely. You earn that right.
Yeah.
By the position that was given to you. And again, it doesn't make you, you know, right. Hey, this guy's right. No, you've earned that position. That's why he can do it. That's why an owner can fire anybody he wants. Why? He's the dang owner of the team. And so that's kind of how I see it. And look, I've had opportunity. You know, I remember being a position coach, and then a head coach would bark down at me or something like that about something. Maybe we jumped off sides and we went 10 straight weeks without an offside penalty, and we got one. He's over there barking. And yeah, you want to sit back and punch the guy in the nose, but at the same time, you recognize he's a head coach, and you kind of move on, bite your tongue and move on from it.
Rex, I've been trying to tell this story for about 2 weeks, but it was your story, and I forgot who the coach was. But remember when we first got there and we had the defensive line coach, and you fired him during our first season, you fired him during a bye week, and it this kind of reminded me of that. And the players weren't really getting along with him, and you know he wasn't effective, and you fired him during the bye week. And what that did for the players is that told them that, you know, you were in control, and that if something wasn't working, that you were man enough to admit your mistake, and you got rid of him. I forget what his name is. He's a black dude. It was our first year, 2009. I know you've coached a lot of football, but you fired him.
Yeah, I know who it is. I won't mention his name, but that's what you got to do. You've got to do what's in the best interest of your football team, and if that means you got to move on from somebody, and I've done it in the past. You know, we replaced Greg Roman with Anthony Lynn. You know, so look, you make those decisions. Not easy. You don't want to make those decisions, but if you feel that in the best interest of your team, that's what you have to do.
And that emboldens, that makes the player say, wow, he's going to do what's best for us. You know, so if it's a friendship, if it's a coaching, a mutual.
Yeah, Bart, don't you think that could also work against you? Because if the players love Colombo the way it's being said, and they like the way he treated, and they believed also in his idea that you don't work in other players, you stay consistent, and now you're changing that, that also could work against you, where players are like, why are you getting rid? We like that guy.
You can like somebody, but what was their offensive line and how were they performing?
Well, they performed well when Colombo did it the way he wanted it. He broke from the plan and did it his way by leaving Will Hernandez on the bench for most of the game until he had to put him in.
But remember, he brought in a consultant from New England.
Yeah, he didn't like that either.
Right, that was a big issue. It was that he felt like he was being big brother. He knew eventually that guy was going to get the job.
Probably.
Because what happens is when you get in that foxhole, you want people in there that you can trust, people that you've been there with. And Colombo was probably walking around as if Jason Garrett hired him and Jason Garrett was his boss because he was running Jason Garrett's offense, and that's the system that they've already done. Well, that's easy to run any system when you have five Pro Bowlers on the offensive line.
Yeah.
But sometimes you might have to get a little input from somebody else that's used to working with chicken you know what, instead of chicken salad. Right? So that's what it is, because sometimes we fall in love with these systems and the way we've done things before, but sometimes you have to see how it's working with this group. And that group wasn't performing well, and that was Colombo's job. So that's why when you bring Big Brother, and now it's like you're trying to embarrass me by giving me somebody like I need a teacher's aid.
Rex, you think
I think, guys, we can sum it up this way. The boss may not always be right, but the boss is always the boss. And I think that's what it came down to.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, speaking of boss, all right, another coaching decision that now is being kicked around, and that is in Philadelphia. If you're Doug Peterson, do you stick with Carson Wentz or do you make the change?
Look, as bad as Carson Wentz is playing, I understand the rumblings. But if you've seen the guy behind him, there's no chance you make this move. And, you know, right now they're in first place.
Right.
We saw the Bears do it. How'd that look? Remember, they were undefeated. They replaced their starter with a backup. You don't do it. There's starters for reasons, and there's backups for reasons. And I think it would be a mistake. Look, they have no one to throw to. It's embarrassing. Alshon Jeffrey couldn't. I mean, you can get a pizza box. You couldn't get underneath his feet as low as his vertical jump is right now. So, you know, there's more issues there than just the quarterback play, but I think if you had a real legitimate option, maybe you consider it, but you don't have one.
Don't they have Josh McCown sitting in Texas somewhere practicing for $12,000 a week?
Yeah, well, there you go. And Josh is as old as me, so yeah.
That's right. He's always available, it seems like.
One of the McCowns is.
Yeah, right. Somebody named McCown. Also on the quarterback front, it was a bit of a surprise, and Bart and I talked about this on Friday once it was announced that Jameis Winston was not going to be the starter for the Saints, that Sean Payton goes with Taysom Hill. Bart wasn't going for it at all, and I know, Bart, you had a real strong take on GetUp about it, but yet he played really well. Rex, what did you see there, and is that the long-term solution for the Saints even after Drew Brees? I know he's 30, but still, you got to know who your next guy is. Is it Taysom Hill and the way he plays?
Well, it's funny because all along, Sean Payton has said, hey, this guy reminds me of Steve Young. And Steve Young, for what you could say, I mean, you know, all the years as a backup, because don't forget he was in L.A. Express, he was in Tampa, all these different places before he goes to the Niners backing up Joe Montana. Well, once he gets an opportunity, he ends up being a Hall of Fame quarterback. Don't think this is going to happen, but we saw glimpses of what Sean Payton was talking about, his ability to run, his ability to sit in the pocket and make throws. I talked to Westy the other day, and Westy told me that this guy can really throw the deep ball. And now I will say this, he threw a punt up on the first deep ball.
Yeah.
Dude could have signaled fair catch for it. But then later, as it went on, he got better, and I think more confident. So, you know, and I think the Saints are making this move. Why? Because he is under contract moving forward, and they want to see because Drew Brees is leaving next year. Is this going to be the guy that we can move forward with? And I think that's what they're trying to get that answer. You know, it's not going to be Jameis Winston. Doesn't look like it. So why not Taysom Hill? And you know, I was looking for him last year when they played Teddy Bridgewater. So, you know, right now we're seeing who this guy is. And to me, it kind of looks like a little bit of a dual threat right now. We'll see if that trend continues.
Rex, Tim Tebow will look great against Atlanta Falcons defense. Come on, man.
Like, who'd you pick in that game, though, Bart? Come on. Come clean.
I've been riding with the Falcons, but come on, man. Like, let's consider the opponent. And let's consider now that it's film out there about how they want to use them. And let's see if that continues. Like, anybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're going to find out moving forward. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, just lucky enough for him that Kansas City and even Minnesota and Carolina are later in the season. So he gets, you know, I tell you what, this Denver team looked well. So let's see how, you know, that defense looks well. Let's see how he plays against this Denver team. And then, of course, he has homecoming again when he has the Falcons, you know, back-to-back. So anybody's lighting up the Falcons. So I don't think that's a true indication of what he's going to be. But it's so far so good. I think it'd be a mistake not to give Jameis Winston a chance during this run as well.
Because you want to see how career, wouldn't it?
I mean, you want to see how he can perform. Like, it's not, we know Jameis Winston can play. Like, you don't throw for 5,000 yards if you can't play. Now, right. if he can just cut the mistakes down, his decision making down to 50%, he got LASIK. I want to see what it looked like now that he got 20/20 vision. You know what I'm saying?
Can I see?
Now that you can see?
Here's the problem. We saw it the week before when they replaced, when he had to come in for the injured Drew Brees. Jameis comes in, hits his first six balls.
Yep.
After that, he could have thrown three picks in there. Yeah. They dropped every one of them. So, to me, it's like, oh, no. Yeah. Like, it probably, like, hell, Jameis looks good. And then it's like, uh-oh, Jameis is still Jameis. So, we'll see how that goes, too.
Yeah, nobody wants to turn the ball over. I only have one simple Jet question for you. I don't want to go deep into the Jets, but because you're a defensive guy, I've got to bring this up. They now have 12 roughing the passer penalties this season. And every time you see them, they're more mind-boggling than the other. You as a guy, as defense coordinator, a head coach, and all that stuff, when you see stuff like that, now they've got enough trouble. That certainly wouldn't be like that's why they're 0-10, right? I get it. But it's still, what does Bart always say? It's like if you're either allowing it, you're either coaching it, or you're allowing it to happen. When
absolutely.
You see a team like that, is that your first thought as a coach? Is that that's part of the problem there? There's a lack of discipline, and there's one example of it.
Well, that's definitely one example of it. And there always used to be this, like, there's a difference between, like, this is not physical football. Physical football, we always used to say this. We wanted to be the most physical team in the National Football League within the confinements of the rules. And that's what you want to be. Right now, we're seeing this team wants to be physical after the fact, after the play, without the confinements of the rules. And that's why it's so ridiculous. 12 roughing the passer penalties. Like, number one, do you guys even have 12 sacks? Like, I don't even know because, like, it's – I just see a – right now, this is a very, very poor football team, and it doesn't resemble anything close to the heart and you know, just the passion that we're accustomed to seeing out of the Jets. And unfortunately, might not have won all the time, but at least we play with some dang heart. This team right here, I don't see it.
One thing I can say, Rex, that I am a little bit impressed with, is I think that this rookie class is a good class to start a foundation with. I like Bryce Hall. I like that he competed. He was going against, you know, Williams and going against Keenan Allen, but he competed. He wasn't afraid. Sometimes we see these young guys that give these big cushions and give up these hitches all day because they're afraid to get beat deep. He competed. I thought that P. Ryan showed a couple flashes. Becton, listen, Joey Bosa was volunteering to go to the other side. Now, I know people say, oh, it's closed side, open side. BS. He wanted no smoke. I was watching him over there. I saw Melvin Ingram at 6 feet talking about acting like he's about to bat the ball down because he was tired of getting punched in the chest. He's like, all right, here we go, jump. So, you know,
I agree with that. Look, he was my favorite offensive lineman in the draft. And, and I don't disagree. I think Joe Douglas did a good job.
And Mims, you know, I was on.
We saw, you know, those guys. And look, he's now going to have some opportunity to, you know, to make the selections. You know, right now, and he'll never say it, but Joe Douglas is cheering for 0-16. He wants
absolutely
Trevor
Lawrence. Hell yeah!
And I'll promise you, I don't. I mean, he doesn't want that 0-16 on his resume, but he damn sure wants a shot at Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
I can promise you that. And now all of a sudden, it's just like Justin Herbert. Like, how good is Trevor Lawrence?
Right.
Well, if he would have come out last year, he would have been the first guy taken.
Right.
All right. And that's how good this guy is. He would have been the first guy taken his freshman year, sophomore year, now junior year. That's how good this guy is. So make no mistake by it. Joe Douglas, we know we've been around him. He comes from that Baltimore Raven tree, and he understands how to get things done. He's going to have opportunities, going to put plenty shots at it, a lot of draft picks. And I think help's coming around the corner. It certainly can't be as bad as the crap we're seeing.
Just for the record, 12 roughing the passers, 14 sacks for the record this season.
Oh, there you go.
So at least
plus
they're on the positive side
plus
of that.
Two.
All right, last thing we have for you, Rex, is not in the NFL, but in college football. We have about a minute and a half here to go. And that involves Clemson, and because your son went there, I thought it was fair to ask you about Dabo Swinney and his comments about Florida State's administration. Now, it's not really about the football program, but their administration for basically canceling their game Saturday. I believe it was Saturday when they canceled it. They were saying it was because one of his backup offensive linemen had symptoms but didn't test positive for COVID. They decided not to come play. He said it was just an excuse that they wanted to cancel the game. I've never seen anything like that. What do you think about that?
Well, it was so strong. But here's what. Dabo can't help himself. Dabo's going to speak the truth. Which I absolutely love this guy, and he tells you the truth. He doesn't sugarcoat anything, but he tells you the way it is. That football team, you can say what you want, and I'm telling you this. We all knew what was going to happen. They were going to get beat by 50 points.
Oh, they were 38
point
underdogs. Yeah.
And so when you see this coming out there, he's moved it. He's had his whole team go down there. We're all ready to play a game, and now you're not going to let us play? Absolutely ridiculous. All the money it costs the university to fly everybody, all this type of stuff. There's inherited risk that you have with COVID and all this stuff by moving your team into hotels and all those type of issues. And he followed the protocols, and all of a sudden now you're going to take it from where it's not comfortable. You're not comfortable getting your butt kicked. That's what this thing boiled down to.
And I'm just mad as a Jets fan I didn't get to see Trevor Lawrence play for another week. So that
bothered
me.
What you mean? Keep him healthy. We don't want to put him at risk. Don't be messing up our good China.
Wrap him up now. Put him in the bubble wrap. Let's go.
Put him in the bubble wrap.
Perfect way to end that. Rex, thanks as always. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Rex's favorite dish, string bean casserole.
String bean casserole. That's a staple, too, isn't it?
See, but we don't eat string bean casserole in my house. Like,
well,
it's
maybe
weird.
Maybe this week we have to talk about it. So we'll get the calls rolling. We got a couple of people on hold. We want to get to them as well. But right now, let's do this. Let's get a couple of good clips from the weekend in audio files.
The audio file.
All right, two things we referenced while talking to Rex. Why don't we dive deeper into them? And that is, let's say, first, the issue in Philadelphia, which continues to be an issue when it comes to Carson Wentz. Now, I got to say this. Your guy, Dan Orlovsky, this morning on Get Up, I found he does make a point. How does this guy go from being somebody who is an MVP candidate last year just tearing up the league? Like, he played great. Now all of a sudden he sucks. Now all of a sudden, like, all his talents are gone, right? It's as if the Monstars came and just took all his talent, and he can't do anything right anymore. He's that bad. So now that 3-6-1, and the division's still very much up for grabs, even at 3-6-1, that Doug Peterson now is just going to pull the rug out, and let's throw in Jalen Hurts, the rookie, who plays a completely different way. We're going to do that right now? Like, I get the fact that he's had issues, but Olasky feels like it's more play calling and lack of, the loft issue, the lack of freaking talent that's around him. You've mentioned one of his biggest targets is Ertz, and he's not available, correct? So,
Alshon Jeffries just came back. I feel like he's...
And as Rex said, he can't jump over a pizza box right now. His athleticism isn't there. So Doug Peterson is now faced with this, and it's getting louder and louder each week. You got to bench Wentz, and Doug Peterson explained why he's not going to do it.
if you get to that spot, whether you don't start him or you bench, I think you're sending the wrong message to your football team that the season's over, and that's a bad message. And we have to work through this. Times, you know, when times get tough, it's, you know, sometimes that might be the easy thing to do. This business is about work. This business is about, you know, detailing, having ownership, things I talk about with the team, and that's what we got to do. That's coaches and players. That's not one guy. You know, it's bigger. This sport's bigger than one guy, and we all have a hand in it, and we all have to fix it.
Bart, do you think that would affect the locker room if they make that kind of a... I mean, it's a pretty drastic move to take a guy like that and then put in a rookie who plays a different style. Would that affect the locker room, or would it help the locker room?
I mean, how far are you going? That's if people are giving up on Wentz. Wentz is still a very, very young quarterback. So the fact that the thing that his career is over with is a joke. But and going in and bringing in a gadget guy or bringing in a guy that's not ready to come in and run some type of wildcat college type of offense, you know, to me, would signal that, you know, they're overreacting. Like, if Jalen Hurts is eventually going to be Wentz's replacement, and Wentz is going to be leaving maybe his eighth year in the league and going somewhere else, he's still a young quarterback. That's still 11 years. We talk about Matthew Stafford and Cam Newton at 31. You know, he's got to be still underneath 30. So it's like no way in the world that you give up on a guy that was MVP talent. What you have to do is recognize that, hey, you have older stars. The names are great, but their play, it doesn't match their resume. Jason Peters getting starting to look old and not being able to move his feet and getting beat. Alshon Jeffries, who for them was pivotal, you know, two seasons ago and helping them make their run, isn't the same player anymore. You know, sports is the one thing where, and the crazy thing is people don't realize that sometimes one season, two seasons is within one calendar year. And you can see one guy come off a great season and look like he aged overnight the very next season. You know, that's what happens. Just ask Tayshaun Prince.
But still, as you mentioned, still very young. And I just don't see it being, that's not the answer, at least not right now. In the offseason, you could think about it, but not right now. All right, this other one is another thing we brought up with Rex. So we wanted you to hear what we were referencing. And that is Clemson and their game against Florida State at Florida State being canceled abruptly on Saturday. Florida State administration saying it was because of COVID concerns. Because apparently, I guess there was some concerns about what was going on within the Clemson organization. Remember, Trevor Lawrence had it, and he had to sit out. And then there's an offensive lineman, or backup offensive lineman, who was having some symptoms but never tested positive for it. So Dabo, with the media on Zoom, absolutely lost it and went off on Florida State. Take a listen.
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards.
Now, at first, like when you first saw the story, I thought, oh, here goes Dabo again doing the whole We Storm Normandy thing.
Yeah.
And yet, when you listen to this and you consider the entire situation, I think he's got a gripe. I think he's got a good one. And I do think that Florida State's got an answer for this.
Yeah.
The kids went down. The school went down. They all go down there. You're not going to play a game. You're going to send them back and say, we're not going to play. And you're going to use that as an excuse. Vegas had, I think it was a 38-point underdog they were at home. 38. So... I feel this is one of those times where we've had fun with Dabo in the past and some of the stuff and the way he says stuff. This is not one of those times. I kind of think I take his side on this one, Bart.
Yeah, you have to. They knew if they wanted to play leading up to it. You're going to talk about a backup lineman that's probably not even going to get in the game, especially if the other kids are already tested negative. Like, what are you saying? So it wasn't about COVID. I feel like it was about, you know, it was an opportunity to get out of the game, and you took that opportunity. Now, I never want to say that other opposing coaches ever fear another team and say that they don't want to play. That's why he didn't point out the head coaches. He didn't point out the players, because the players will play. Players
play football. This is administrating. Somebody made an executive decision to say, you know, let's get out of the game. So if you want to make this game up, I'm not flying back out and coming to you again. Exactly. You got to come to me. If you guys want to do it, put it on your dime. You know what I mean? I'm not about to come out and come out of my pocket. My guy's going to be home in the comfort of their dormitories or wherever their living arrangements are. And then we'll come there and we'll beat y'all ass even worse than what the 38 points was that was done, because now you're going to piss us off and wasted our time.
Well, next week now, Clemson will play Pittsburgh at home. This is next weekend, and then they have Virginia Tech as they're trying to schedule that one for the 5th of December. And then you figure out about what's going to happen with the playoff and whatnot, but not many games left for us to see Trevor Lawrence. And as you mentioned with Rex, you'd probably rather he not be seen that much so he doesn't get hurt. But I do think you got to see more, because what's the one thing that Trevor Lawrence has in common with Sam Darnold this season? Neither one of them played many games.
Right.
Like
put them both in bubble wrap.
No question. All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, J-Dub. Great job as always, Bart. Do we have a minute here or two to get a caller or one or two in? I'd like to. Let's take Norm in Peekskill. Norm.
What's the one thing that Trevor Lawrence has in common with Sam Darnold this season?
Hey, Norm.
Neither one of them played many games.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, just put the radio down so we can hear you, and let's go. You're on the air. Thanks.
Hey, Bart. Hey, Han.
What's
Bart,
up?
I'm going to be campaigning for you to be the head coach of the Jets.
I'll be assistant
That's
general
the only way we're ever going to get anywhere. I'm a smart man.
No, I appreciate that.
I know it sounds like I'm kissing up, but you're like my favorite Jet ever. And everything you talk about when it comes to fixing the Jets just makes sense. So,
I appreciate it. Maybe one day I'll get the opportunity to put that knowledge in that to
Mr. Johnson
to
has to call you. And I mean, once they clean house of that train wreck over there, they need to bring you in, bring your folks in, and New York will be back where we need to be.
Love it, Norm. Thank you. He's already your agent. I like it. I tell you what, though, if it ever happened where Rex somehow was brought back, I have a feeling he would definitely bring you in.
Make me like the guy that goes to find the free agents and stuff like that.
You don't want to be an everyday practice guy, like coaching staff, practice, prepare. You don't want that.
I can be.
You want to be Worldwide West, don't you?
Yeah, basically. I'll be that. I want to go
Big
find the pieces. I want to find the pieces of the puzzle. You know what I mean? Let me find the pieces of the puzzle. Like all this stuff I'm talking about, what I would do, and being able to get these players. Let me go out and find the players. Help Joe Douglas out. Like Joe, I tried to get the guy from Dallas there. Remember, we had him on Irvington. We had him on. He ended up going out to the Raiders.
Yep.
But I thought I was early. I thought we were early.
That's good get by you. All right, DJ in Staten Island, DJ.
Hey, Alan, a quick question, because I know you're running out of time. Okay, everybody's making a big deal about the Knicks offseason. I, in particular, like it. So I just wanted to say, before the assets are big guys, and now it was being reported this morning that a Pelicans are almost been attacked by, what would you feel, Alan, if you offered Brandon Ingram on that?
Yeah, I don't see it. I just don't. You know, I know Ingram is still not signed yet. I don't know what to make of it as a restricted free agent, but... You know, I haven't seen a lot on that, and I don't know. That's all I can say. I don't know. I mean, he does fit in the timeline as far as still a relatively young player.
Yeah, I like
that. But you're giving him, you know, you're giving him a ton of money. You're giving him a 4-year deal, which does affect you going forward. I do think that they're trying to keep things flexible going forward. This is a proved year for this franchise. I think they all have learned that. They all understand that this is a new regime, but the reputation is still in the building. And so you've got to have a year where by the end of this 72-game season, it's not really about the record. It's about do things look different there. It's not the same old Knicks. Like that's what I think you're looking at. Tom Thibodeau, his coaching staff, the development. Do these young guys start showing you something? It's almost like where the Nets were a couple of years ago. Like, can they take something and make it look like it's trending in the right direction? So now you say, wow. That's going to be kind of cool. Like, look at that group. Now, the only problem is this. There's nobody in the building this year. No fans.
Yeah.
So the one thing that gets people excited, especially vets, is they look and see, wow, the building's hype for these kids, right? The building is lit. They love this team. Like, I want to be part of that. Problem is, this team will be playing great. You're not going to see reaction from crowds. So you're going to have to see it in other places. And that's, of course, where I expect Knicks fans always show up. So that's the one thing about this year, is it's going to be a prove-it year for everyone top to bottom. And right now what they are proving is this, is that they're not following the old way of, the impulse buy, the overspending, the panic. They're just staying with the program. They're showing patience, and they're just collecting picks and assets to be ready for whatever move could be on the horizon. That's basically it. They are still trying to build something here.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's get some lunch money in here. Make some money. Monday night game tonight is Rams-Bucks, Bar. That's a good game. Good game. Bucks at home at 7-3. They're favored by 4.5. 4.5 is the last I saw, with an over-under of 48. We don't have to pick the game, but it's still, it's an interesting interesting line there for Monday Night Football.
Who's the squad? That's all we need to know. Who's
Goff
the squad?
Versus Tom Brady. Yes, I know. I'll get to it. So our lineup will be Tom Brady and Goff, Cooper Kupp, Malcolm Brown, and Antonio Brown. Boom.
Ooh.
Like it?
Okay. I like it.
Like it?
Been trending, though, but yeah, I like Antonio Brown, he'll get involved.
I like it. Okay. Hey, let's shout out football. We be footballing. He said, hey, Bart Hahn, let me get a birthday shout out. So?
Happy birthday.
I pick things up, he puts them down. That's basically how we do this.
Happy birthday, home slice.
That's right.
I don't know what number it is. There you go. That's a little bit more.
Fast as hell this show went by, but still, it's a short week for us.
Power twice is...
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to bring that to the air, but there's a reason why. Bar was supposed to do a couple of live reads there in the
break. What happened to all the sunlight?
And you guys, if you guys could only see it, Bar... When the hell are we getting back in the damn studio? So, Bar, we're talking on FaceTime. All of a sudden, he disappears.
Oof.
But yet... It's not like the screen went black. It's like the room went dark, and then Bart's face suddenly went all like Blair. What was that? The
Blair Witch Project.
The Blair Witch Project, where his face went right up on the screen. My power went out.
It's my last.
I'm like, damn. How does that happen? It went right back on again, but still.
Help.
That kind of day for Bart. So it's all good. We got through the show, and it was a good one. All the podcasts are up. Rex, Emmanuel Quickly as well. Tomorrow, Jay Will, and maybe a Jet player as well. So we'll get all to that tomorrow. Bart, I'll see you then.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.